Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Updater Services Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghunandan Tangirila, Promoter, Chairman, and MD. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Manjula. Good afternoon to all of you. Warm welcome to everybody present on this call. I have with me Amitabh Jaipuria, Non-Executive Director, Radha Ramanujam, CFO, Snehashish Bhattacharya, CEO of Binay, who is now also elevated as the CEO of the entire BSS group of UDS. He will start taking ownership from 1st of June. So congratulations, Snehashish. Happy to have you as the CEO of the BSS group. I hope all of you have got the investor deck by now. And for those who have not got it, you could view them on the stock exchange or the company website. To give you a brief in a nutshell, UDS operates in the B2B space, offering a spectrum of business services which are broadly classified within our group as IFM segment and the BSS segment. When we say BSS, it is business support services. Over the years, UDS standalone entity has evolved into an integrated business services platform, which has been present pan-India, servicing customers across industries and business lines. Also, you would all know acquisition of strong companies in the BSS segment has taken the group globally and also made us more profitable. We are led by a well-qualified, experienced team, management team, with a robust experience in all the sectors we operate, and that's how we have demonstrated the ability to manage and grow our operations across segments. First, let me give you a brief on the BSS segment. In the BSS segment, we have witnessed a strong revenue growth of 32% over last year. Revenue stood at about 802 crores. This is primarily attributed to strong growth we are witnessing in the sales enablement business. We're also growing the digital and field marketing segment in the BSS segment. This segment grew in spite of setbacks in employee background verification, one of the business services, because of a freeze on IT hiring or slowdown in IT hiring. We have seen improved traction this year in the IT hiring, though it won't be like what it was a couple of years back, but we have seen traction. We have also moved from IT-focused companies. I'm talking just about the employee background verification. We've also moved from IT-focused to other sectors like banking and manufacturing. Another business in our BSS segment, which is the airport ground handling business, we have picked up traction. We are now operating or would be operating in 22 airports from this quarter. So out of the 22, 16 are already operating. About six will start getting operated anytime this month and next month. Beyond ground handling, we are also picking up other related airport and aviation services. We've also started an aviation training school, though for captives and also for people outside. This should definitely give expect to start positively contributing from the next 2-3 quarters. We've also got in these 22 airports marquee airports which we expect actually the business to go much more than what we planned. These are airports like Ayodhya, Tirupati, and Pune, which is already operational last 1 year. So we see this segment to grow in the coming years. During Q4 full year, the BSS segment contributed 34% and 33% to revenues respectively. Within BSS segment, we offer a diverse range of services tailored to meet the evolving needs of our customers across various industries. This also helps us to increase our wallet share within the existing clients while improving our margins on a consolidated level as business in BSS segment are highly margin accretive. As of 31st March 24, we have about 1,026 customers in BSS segment. Three marquee clients across segments like IT, BFSI, manufacturing, ITES, telecom, and aviation. Way forward for the BSS segment, we have plans to grow this more aggressive in terms of inorganic growth. That would mean acquisition in the BSS space. This is what our strategy when we did the prospectus or when we went for the listing. So this would happen this year and the next year or going forward in this space because BSS will see better value action, better margin. We also want to go, we also plan to grow the BSS segment organically at around 18-20% and also further improving our margin. Our ability to successfully acquire and seamlessly integrate margin accretive business is what will be a stepping stone for us and what separates us from others or our peers. All businesses in business segment have been through acquisition, which we have successfully turned into a profitable business. Business market is expected to expand at a pace of about 15% per annum the next 3-4 years, reaching a size of about 15,000 odd crores. This is the biggest pie. Some of this biggest pie would be attributed to sales enablement, employee background verification, and audit and assurance. All these BSS segment businesses are asset like capital efficient in nature and in which we are already market leaders. We should grow faster than the industry. Now moving to ISM segment. During Q4 24, our ISM segment contributed significant contribution to our revenues, comprising approximately 66% of our total revenues and 67% for full year ended FY24. Within the ISM segment, we offer a comprehensive range of services catering to diverse clients, which includes soft and hard services. When we say hard services, it is the back-end engineering services. Soft services include like housekeeping, cleaning, horticulture, pest control, and support services. We also do a large portion of our IFM business in the manufacturing segment, so we also have a warehouse management piece within that segment. At UDS, we continue to have a high focus on margins and capital efficiency. Given this backdrop, we have witnessed a growth of about 9% in IFM revenues, which stood at about 1,665 crores. This is due to our rationalizing our low margin contract business. Wherever necessary, we have exited businesses not viable and concentrating now more on better margin businesses or higher margin businesses. As of March 24, in the ISM business space segment, we have about 1,500 customers. Again, like I said, we have customers, marquee names, the Fortune 100, Fortune 500 names in manufacturing, in banking, in aviation, in healthcare, in hospitality, IT. Also, like earlier I said, and this is what we've continued, if you take a five-year window, we have a 95% customer retention rate. Going forward, we see the industry funds continue to witness a shift of preference towards a fully integrated facilities management company with higher demand for solution-based offerings. They've always focused on offering a bouquet of services with higher technical capabilities, which have separated us from our peers. Our quality and passion to provide quick turnaround solutions keep us growing. We expect to continue to gain market share while maintaining a high focus on hard services, which are engineering services, which have better margins and margin accretive, and also they are specialized in nature. As you would all know, companies are increasingly outsourcing fully managed services and also outsourcing a complete integrated solution. So we will continue to capitalize on this and we'll continue to grow. The outsourced size of IFM market is currently around 40,000 crores. This is more the organized players. And it's about, it includes both organized and the not organized players. And it's expected to grow at about 80,000 crores by FY28, which is about roughly about 17% CAGR. The output split is also going to go to increase. Going forward, we are quite confident that our growth in numbers will stabilize at 3x of GDP. 3x of GDP growth. To summarize, there are particularly five levels of growth which we will clearly see, which are we will want to retain, strengthen and grow our customer base, emphasizing our deepening relationships with customers to long-term renewable contracts, creating a stable revenue model. A strong brand and quality services enable customer retention and cross-selling. Number two, we want to grow market share in the key segments, expanding in key segments like commercial, real estate, industrial, manufacturing, and more like infrastructure projects. Like we already had been in the IFM about 7 airports. We would like to do this on this type of large infrastructure projects. We'll also would introduce new products, basically more on our technology, where we will have a more technology-enabled service offering. We'll continue to improve our operating margin by two ways. One is our operational efficiencies, and two is the scale and the blend and mix of businesses. Businesses in the sense that within IFM, the businesses, and also will continue to be cross-sell between IFM and BSS. Like I said earlier, we'll pursue this inorganic growth in the BSS space. We would definitely have raised money for inorganic growth, and we will be doing it over the next 2, 3, 4 quarters. I'm happy to share that we've got the Great Place to Work certification, highlighting our ability not just to hire but also to foster strong, dedication towards employee satisfaction. Apart from this, one of our group companies in the BSS space, Dene received, has been recognized as India's top 100 best workplaces for women. I think that I'm done, and I would hand this over to Radha Ramanjam, who is our CFO, to give you details on the Q4 and the full year 24. So over to you, Radha.
Thanks, Raghu. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll first share the highlights of Q4 FY24, and then I will talk through the full year financials. I think all of you must have seen the deck which has been loaded as well. The total revenue from operations grew by 10% year on year to 6,326 million. IFM segment grew by 8% year on year to 4,272 million. And BSS segment revenues grew by 24% year on year to 2,174 million in Q4 of FY24. The revenue split between IFM and BSS is at 66% for IFM and 34% for BSS, compared to 69% and 31% same time last year. The share of BSS is continuously growing in the overall revenue. EBITDA grew by 6% to 411 million. Whereas if you see our presentation, we have also given the adjusted EBITDA. The adjusted EBITDA degrew by 23% year on year to 383 million. The adjusted EBITDA is primarily excluding the one-off expenses like fair value changes and liabilities that are payable or paid to the promoters during the year on account of acquisition. The amortization related expenses that also pertaining to the acquisition and the ESOP cost. The adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 6%. Adjusted PAT was flat and it was 217 million, whereas reported PAT witnessed a growth of 150% year on year and stood at 242 million. The cash PAT is at 336 million. During Q4 FY24, we added 18 logos in the IFM segment and 17 in the BSS segment. Now coming to the FY24 financial, the total revenue from operation grew by 16% year on year to 24,561 million. The EBITDA grew by 41% to 1459 million, whereas the adjusted EBITDA grew by 12% year on year to 1,666 million. And the adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 6.8%. Just to give you the breakup between the reported and adjusted EBITDA, in FY24, the ESOP cost is 101 million. The fair value change in liability payable and paid to promoters of the acquired subsidiary is 106 million. Denev, it's in the final stage of becoming fully owned. We have already provided for the entry of cost. It's just regulatory activities going on, and then we will complete the promoter share acquisition. And by FY27, Athena also would become 100% subsidiary of the company. During this year also, there is a 16.5% buyback of promoter share for which provision has been made. Hence, the effect of fair value expenses going ahead will keep decreasing as we keep increasing our ownership in the subsidiary company. As mentioned earlier, if we take hit on fair value, it means the business is outperforming our expectation, and that is the reason we have to pay out more. But it's a good sign to have it, because that money will come back as a future benefit for us. If the business continue to perform, it's a future benefit. And by FY27, Athena would also become 100% subsidiary and will not have the adjustment on account of fair value or amortization going forward. On the adjusted level, the EBITDA margin has come down by 0.2%. This also primarily due to the last quarter impact. We have taken a few large value project business in IFM and new business in BSS. And once we stabilize the operation, this will start giving benefit in the subsequent quarters. Adjusted PAT grew by 9% year-on-year to 925 million, whereas reported PAT grew by 91% year-on-year to rupees 663 million. And the cash PAT grew by 21% year-on-year to 1,409 million. Our adjusted ROCE stands at 24%. We are a net cash company and the net debt to equity stood at negative 0.29x as of 31st March 24. During the financial year, we added 78 new logos in IFM segment. New logos, I mean the new customers, and 51 logos in the BSO segment. The total headcount at the year-end stood at 51876 for IFM segment, and it was 13356 for BSO segment. You may also observe a little bit of inconsistency in the reported revenue in our presentation versus the P&L which is published. That is primarily on account of removing the interest income from other income. As you may be aware, for Ind AS purpose, even the interest income gets reported as other income as a part of operating income. Since we have been removing the interest income from the operating EBITDA earlier, to maintain consistency even in this quarter and this financial year, for the investor deck, we have removed it. But going ahead, we will report or we'll make a presentation in line with the published P&L, audited P&L, and we'll only have the reported PAT and all other line items aligned with the published P&L. With this, I will open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Balaji from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. My first question would be on, could you give the FY 2020 to 2024 revenue numbers for Athena and Dene? And also, it would be helpful if we can have the segmental EBITDA, which is the EBITDA for both the segments, which is IFM and BSS, for FY 2024. So, that would be my, first set of housekeeping questions.
Okay, I will just read out the FY24 top line of, you wanted Dene and Athena.
That's right.
Okay, just one second. Dene has reported a turnover of 455 crores and Athena 100 and, okay, if I have, it's 12,550 million and Athena's turnover is 1,488 million.
So you said 4650 for Dene, if I got you right?
4550.
Okay. So if I follow up on that, I can see that, despite the revenue growth being quite healthy, we are around 25% for Dene, the EBITDA, absolute EBITDA, has come up from 336 million to 294 million. So that is a reasonable, almost 270 basis points EBITDA margin contraction. So could you please, throw some light on, what exactly happened and going forward, how should be the EBITDA margin for Denim?
Okay. See, with respect to EBITDA margin, you're only specifically asking Denim or Denim and Athleisure together?
So, more specifically on Denim, because Athleisure, I can see it is almost steady, as in based on the numbers you just mentioned.
Yes. See, Denim, we had a little bit of a dip in the margin in the last quarter. Since Sneha Shish is on the call, if he can brief the business situation, I will also help on the financial numbers what we have reported in the last quarter.
Sure, Radha. Thank you for pulling me in. Hi. So, quick update on the Q4 drop that we see here. There are primarily two factors here. One, over the last two quarters, we had an increase in our overall revenue from some of our telecom customers where the margins are lower, and therefore we have a significant jump in top line, but we've had a not equivalent increase in the bottom line, number one. But these projects, when we execute them, they also come with their related costs, which in the first one quarter, two quarters, sit on the payroll at a higher percentage versus the going forward once they stabilize. That is the first primary reason. The second primary reason also is during this particular period, because a good chunk of our customers are also from the technology industry, and at that point of time, there were certain inconsistencies in their plans basis the cost optimization drives that were happening. There were temporary impacts that we also faced in the Q4, quarter four, which in Q1, we should be able to take care of, as in it should be better in Q1. I hope that answers your question.
Got it. So is it fair to say that, in FY25, we will go back somewhere closer to the margin levels we had in FY23?
That is the plan, yes.
Got it. And, my second question again to Radha was on the segmental breakup for EBITDA between ISM and BSS.
Okay. We haven't shared it in the deck. The segmental breakup BSS is about close to 100 million. You want for the Q4 or for the year?
Full year will be more useful.
Okay. Okay. The BSS segment has about 365 million, and the IFM segment is around 440 million. And we have an elimination of around 13 million, which effectively goes into the IFM segment. So 36 on BSS and 30 on IFM.
36 on BSS and?
30 crores on IFM.
No, this is for which period? Because I can see this is adjusted EBITDA or reported EBITDA?
This is reported EBITDA.
Okay. Okay. And how were these numbers last year? Because I do have a number from 77 crores for BSS for FY23. So, is that 77 crore apples to apples with this 36 crores for BSS?
It came up. See, BSS last year was around 53 crores. The apples to apples comparison is 53 versus 36. Like we mentioned in the previous three quarterly calls, we also had some setback in the background verification business in Q1, Q2. That has resulted in some amount of margin erosion in the business, which has been picking up now.
Okay. Got it. And, my next set of questions, would be on this BSS segment, if I may. So you have classified, something which used to be under sales enablement services revenue under other BSS revenue. So what is the rationale behind that? And I can also see that your 3Q PPT mentions, 1,700 plus customers for BSS, while, this time around you called out, 1,026. So any reclassification there? That will be helpful.
Yeah, what we mentioned is any customer who is contributing to less than 5 lakhs as a revenue, we have eliminated. And we also eliminated customers who have been there like one-off projects and then exiting. So that's why we have made it only continuing customers and customers who are making significant impact.
Got it. And what about the other BSS service revenue, other BSS revenue, which you called out as an earlier sales enablement services used to be some 23-24% of your revenue. Now it is slightly around 10.5-11%.
See, the sales enablement in Dene, we are also tracking the revenue in multiple segments like marketing services, digital marketing services, business analytical services, pure sales enablement services like that. So the rest also will be part of, if you put it in the overall gamut, that 19% which is missing in the chart is actually end of the game is driving towards sales enablement.
Okay, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwani from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I just wanted to understand one thing. In the standalone business that you all report, the margins have come off from 2.4% to 1.7%. I believe this pertains to the IFM segment mainly. So if you can explain a little bit about the margins in IFM and how we should look at them going forward.
See, in IFM also, earlier, like Raghu mentioned, during the year, we had margin eroding contracts, and we have taken a conscious call to come out of those business. Like, the people cost continued for some time while we exited the business. While saying so, we have also got into the high-value projects. We are getting more and more project business now. We are in the initial stage of setting up the project business, and once we stabilize, even that will come back as a higher throughput with a stable margin. So we have a bit of a setback in margin in Q3 on account of that. Q3 and little extending into Q4, but will even out by Q2 of FY 2025.
So this would be the last quarter for exiting these businesses. Now, going forward for the next 2 quarters, it will just be due to ramp-up of these new projects. Is that understanding?
Yeah, it will take a couple of quarters to settle down, and then hopefully by the second quarter, we should start benefit the story.
Understood. And in terms of the BSS business, quarter on quarter, there has been some decline. While you all mentioned that Dene is well in the quarter, given that the revenues are sitting because you have some new telecom customers. So what is leading to the decline quarter on quarter? We believe Matrix and Matrix had bottomed out in the last quarter. So if you can give some color.
Matrix profitability is compared to the Q1 and Q2, the Q3, Q4 profitability has improved better. Dene had a bit of
the revenue bit, not the profit.
Hello?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Interrupting. I'm referring to the revenues, not the profit.
The revenues dropping. Probably, if Nehashi, if you can throw some highlight on BSS revenue dropping.
Yes, like I said, along with our increase in the low margin business in the Q4, we had some market impacts from the technology sector because of the cost cuts that were happening there, which is why our Q4 there was a muted growth in terms of revenue. I hope that answers your query.
Yes, that's
not substantially dropped. Also, there's a minor drop. If you see Q1, Q2, Q3, the revenues have been going up. Only in Q4, there's a drop in one particular company in the BSS segment. The rest of the companies have held on to the revenue.
Understood. And also, could you explain the reason for the change in accounting policy for depreciation? Why exactly has there been a change from written down value to SLM?
Okay. See, as a company, all our subsidiaries, all of us are doing a straight line method. We started investing in airport ground handling assets last year. So immediately when the assets came in, we just, in UDS Group, we went with the WDB method. But considering the assets have got a longer useful life and also the revenue, the asset also earns revenue for us, lease rental. So in line with the useful life of 3 years and also the principle which all our subsidiaries followed, UDS also moved into straight line method of depreciation.
Understood. And just one last question. If you can just give the quantification of ground handling for this quarter, did we break even in the quarter?
In the last quarter, we didn't break even because we had to do certain annual adjustments of rectification entries and other things. But however, the traction in Q1 25 will break even.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniket Kulkarni from MSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions on both the verticals. So starting with BSSL, so could you explain what the company's vision is with this vertical and what was the thought process behind making acquisitions to grow this vertical and, you know, how the vertical is any different from any other BPO business and, you know, what type of ROCs can we generate from this vertical?
Raghav, shall I continue or would you want to take it up?
I will add and if required. I can just give the rationale why BSS and why this space and the value and margin that we see in the BSS.
Okay. So BSS primarily consists of a Matrix, Avon, Global, Denev and Athena. These are the 5 subsidiaries which we call it as a business support services. What we do in business support service is the sales enablement services, which primarily comes from Denev and Athena, audit, assurance, employee background verification services, which comes from our Matrix Group company, the mailroom management, niche logistics solution, and now they're extending to the warehouse management as well. This comes from our Avon. An airport ground handling system is through a Global. We do the baggage, cargo handling, passenger movement and everything. And the reason why we focus on BSS as a strategy to acquire also, they add offerings that are definitely complementary and supplementary to the current existing portfolio. So like we have engineering service, staffing service and the integrated facility management and mailroom management also combined together. We have engineering service, production support service, staffing service. So we add with the same thing, a complementary thing, employee background, field management. So the business support service primarily is aimed at complementing our existing IFM services.
Okay.
If I can add here, if I can add here, our strategy of this inorganic growth and acquisition in the BSS space is to be margin accretive. IFM happens to be single-digit margins and BSS is a double-digit margin. That was the strategy of this inorganic growth in the BSS space. And to add to that, in the BSS space, what we do is we have been market leaders in both Whatever and Athena and in Denev. That is also what would contribute, like our strategy to why to get into that space. They do very specialized BPO services, if you want to call that. That's the reason we wanted to get into this space. And also in the future, we would add our acquisitions or add any new acquisition within this space, which would complement our existing businesses.
And it's also starting to capture higher revenue.
Understood. And on the ROC part, if you can just tell me what kind of ROC does the vertical generate for the company? I mean, only for that vertical.
Okay, I have the overall company ROC, which is 18.2%. I can work on individual company return on capital. Except for global, every other company is very light on capital expenditure. In fact, almost nil, except for few technological developments which they do. So I share that ROC by segment separately.
If you want me to give you a very approximate number, it will not be very different between BSS and IFM, barring global alone, which comes under BSS. So we think overall company ROC was 25% or 24%, I don't remember. It should be around that range.
The reported number is 18.3%, and if I exclude global assets from this, the ROC will move to 24%. So, yes, BSS and IFM has to be in the similar range.
Understood. And secondly, on the IFM business, does the IFM business have any residential real estate exposure? So, is the company offering its IFM services in the growing real estate market in India right now, because we can stand to benefit a lot if that is the case. So,
yes, I see that. That's a good question. We have not been majorly into the residential segment. We've always focused on B2B. I mean, residential also, you could call it B2B now because they are into large housing and all. We would definitely endeavor to do that. We will work towards it where the project size is bigger. But we don't want to go into the low-end or mid-end residential sector IFM. So this is something which we have on our cards.
Okay, understood. Okay, thank you for answering my questions and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Roshni Galani from ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So with respect to the fair value changes number in this quarter, it has been negative. There has been a reversal in the fair value changes liability. So what would be the key reasons for the same?
During the quarter, there was an adjustment which we made. Initial projection, we thought the businesses will exceed, so we've kept providing in the first three quarters, and the business did what was expected. There was no surprise on overachieving the numbers. Like we said in the last quarter, even in Denev, there was a little bit of drop in the profitability. So we had reversed the provisions for that.
The provisioning reversal is because of Denev or Athena?
It's primarily for Denev.
Okay. And going forward, how are we expecting Denev's performance to be?
Yeah, you had a reassurance from Snehashish. So yes, Q1 will settle down, and Q2 onwards, the BSS segment will rock.
Roshni, in the BSS segment, including Denev, we expect to grow between 15% to 18% the current year. However, the first quarter in Denev alone could be a flat in sense like the last quarter or a little improvement. because of the investments done, they will start kicking in from second quarter. So overall, we'll expect between 15 to 18% in all the BSS segment companies together.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naitik Mohata from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question would be, what would be our ESOP guidance for FY25?
Currently, we have ESOP. We have ESOP pools which can be allocated to the employees. The board is discussing on that. Probably by the next quarter board meeting, we'll decide on how and what is the quantum, and then we will share it with you.
Just for clarity, would it be somewhere around this year's number, or it would be significantly different from this one?
Rather, I think what he's asking is the provisions you made for ESOP last year, this year, and next year.
It may not as much as this year. We expect it to be half of the current year provision. However, we cannot call it out in case if it is required, because we do have ESOP pools available. So if I have to share the numbers, it was 5 crores in the previous year. It could be around 5 to 6 crores next year as well. It was 10 crore last year. We may get into 5 to 6 crore, but again, it is all subject to the board discussion.
Okay, ma'am. That was very helpful. My second question would be regarding the employee cost. So for the current quarter, our employee cost is almost 80% of our top line, which is slightly higher from our average of around 66-67%. So what would be the reason for that?
See, the way we explained earlier also, we are starting the project-based business. And also in Dene, we have started a new business where the employees are slightly more. As we stabilize the business and as we get on to that, this employees count will remain same, but productivity will improve. If you see overall also as a company, we have not increased the employee count between the year beginning to year end, but the productivity per employee has substantially gone up. The overall employee cost as a percentage to top line also come down by 0.2%. It was 8.08 and it's 8.28 and it has come to 8.01. So we have reduced the cost by 0.2%. While last quarter, because of slight dent in the top line, the absolute percentage looks higher. But if you see the productivity per employee in the last quarter, it is above the annual average.
Okay, ma'am. So, can it be expected for these new businesses, the one in Delhi, as well, to start contributing meaningfully to the top line from Q1?
We mentioned it will start from Q2.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Manoj Jethwa from KSA Shares and Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the good set of numbers which you have put. My couple of questions are there. First is related to the segmental revenue in the audit report. In the BSS segment on FY24 revenues and FY24-3 revenue, there is a significant dip in the profit before tax. So could you please add some color on that, ma'am?
You're talking about BSS segment?
Yeah, BSS segment, ma'am. segmental revenue?
Okay. One, the segmental revenue has slightly come down. There's no significant dip in the segmental revenue per se. There is a dip in the segmental profitability. For example, the segmental revenue is grown by 18%. So where do you find a significant dip in segmental revenue?
No, I'm not talking about a significant revenue in segment result. There is a profit before tax. As compared to March 2023, it was 659 million, which has been reduced to 488 million.
Yes, in the profit, we had two issues. One, in our matrix business, the profitable business, there was a setback. The employee background verification business, which used to be a high margin business, there was a low volume in that business. So we had drop in profitability in that business. And in Dene, we had drop in profitability in the last quarter. These two contributed to the overall drop in the BSS segment profit. And there is a slight increase in the loss of Global because we have been setting up all new airports. During last year, we have commissioned close to 15 airports operational. The initial setup cost is also added slightly to the operating loss of that company compared to last year.
Okay, fair enough. And my second question would be about the fair value changes in liability payable to promoters of acquired subsidiaries. Is there the target of the subsidiary company has not been achieved, so that's why there is a dip in the payment which we have to make it
to the Radha, subsidiary? Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello?
The voice is breaking in between.
Hello? Oh. Hello, am I audible properly, ma'am?
Yes, now I could hear you.
Madam, my query is regarding the fair value changes in liabilities payable to promoters of acquired subsidiaries. You see the negative figure of 47 million. So, just need to understand whether the subsidiary companies have missed the milestones for that, any milestone is missed for the payment relating to the payment which you were supposed to be made.
See, like I explained earlier to Rashmi, we have provided in the books for a higher achievement. Last year we had to pay substantial, if you see, we would have paid 9 crores more on account of overachievement of the number compared to what was set in the SSC.
Yes.
So
yes.
This year also, anticipating that the verticals will overachieve, we had done provision. But Athena's numbers have been almost flat. And we had a small dip in Dene compared to what we estimated. So that has resulted in reversal of the excess provision.
Okay.
To answer that question, sir, I'll tell you. We had expected them to overperform, but they've done exactly what as per the plan. So what we have provided, that 4.5 crores or 5 crores, we have reversed it.
Okay. That's fine now. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead. Rahil? Mr. Rahil?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi. Just one question for, you know, business as a whole, for a consolidated level, if you have any guidance or outlook in terms of top line and EBITDA, that would be really helpful.
Yeah, can I take it? Sir, can I take it?
Yeah, please, sir.
See, I would be constrained to give you exact real guidance, but I could tell you our business plan is this year, that is the current year FY25, we plan to do a between 15 to 18% both top line and bottom line growth. I'm talking of reported PAT. Does that answer?
Mr. Rahil?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just wanted your thoughts on the project-based business in IFM. If you could just give this color, some color on what this business is about, what's the nature of the business. And you also mentioned some new business in Geneva. If you could give some color on both, will be helpful.
Should I take that, brother?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, sir, in the IFM business, I don't know, I think what Radha would have earlier mentioned is some project businesses in Deneb or in the BSS space, they would have exited or something. But in the IFM business, there is no project-based business we do. They're all either a long-term contract or a medium-term contract business. That's what we do in the IFM space.
Raghu, what I meant is the recent one where we have spent more money, like the... I can quote the name, the two, three companies, there it is a reimbursement model, we have spent money ahead, and also the one which we inaugurated today, the IICS. So
right.
We have got advanced in the last quarter, so we need to settle down and then ensure it gets reimbursed appropriately.
Right, right. So they are basically upfront spending on the overall project. So that is what would be called as project-based, because that is something which is a annual recurring in nature, but the expense of some project would have been big at least last quarter.
If I may add to that, Raghu?
Yeah.
From the BSS perspective, the project-based businesses that Radha is talking about is primarily at the Geneva level, where apart from the annuity contracts that we have for sales services, we also have marketing activation programs. We also have intelligent database services, which are all project-based. So there we acquire customers. There is more of a strategy to get a foot in the door with customers and then over a period of time create stickiness through our other recurring businesses. So Radha was referring to those project businesses.
Okay. Are the margins in this business lower than the average or higher than the average?
Are you referring to the project ones?
Yeah.
So the most of the project businesses are higher than average.
Okay. Okay.
And, some of them significantly higher and some of them are averagely higher.
Got it. So this reimbursement model which Radha mentioned was in the IFM business, is it? And not in the BSS.
So in the BSS,
yes.
In Dine, we do have a staffing portion, which is the telecom business. It's not really staffing. It's what we call field sales and marketing, where we are focusing on activating the retail store sales. There, yes, the volume of the revenue is higher and the margin is low.
Got it. And on the IFM side? Or am I going to help you?
IFM side, it will be slightly higher. There could be a timing difference between booking expenses and claiming the reimbursement.
Got it. So, in which kind of an industry does this kind of a contract come up typically?
Currently, we are running one convention center end to end. Similarly, there is one customer, we also manage their guest house and everything. So it's not just the facility management. We also supply items for them and then recover it subsequently.
Got it. Understood. Fair enough. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I will now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all of you present there, and thank you for all your support. We will definitely try to do better than what we have done last year. Like, I can't give a guidance, but this is what we would plan to do, is between a 15% to 18% growth, both bottom and top line. So thank you all of you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Updater Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.